Our reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 can be found on page 23 of our church Bibles in the New Testament section if you wish to follow it. And we start at verse 21. Matthew 15, verse 21. Jesus left the place and went off to the territory near the cities of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman who lived in that region came to him. "Son of David," she cried out, "have mercy on me, sir. My daughter has a demon and is in a terrible condition." But Jesus did not say a word to her. His disciples came to him and begged him, "Send her away. She is following us and making all this noise. Then Jesus replied, "I have been sent only to the lost sheep of the people of Israel." At this, the woman came and fell at his feet. "Help me, sir," she said. Jesus answered, "It isn't right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." "That's true, sir," she answered. "But even the dogs eat the leftovers that fall from the master's table." So Jesus answered her, "You are a woman of great faith. What you want will be done for you." And in that very moment, her daughter was healed. Let's pray. Breathe on us, great God, that we might be filled with your Spirit and led by your living word, Jesus Christ. Bless the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts. We ask it in his name. Amen. We left and departed for the district of Tyre and Sidon. Now you need to understand that that's very significant. The Pharisees were already plotting to destroy Jesus. And after the execution of John the Baptist, King Herod feared that Jesus was John brought back to life. And in response to this heightened sense of threat, Jesus was trying to put some distance between himself and the king. He was also trying to put some distance between himself and the crowds of people that brought him so much attention. He withdrew from his hometown of Nazareth to a lonely place, but the crowds followed him there. So he pulled back even further to Gennesaret, but even there word spread. And he found himself surrounded by people wanting to be healed and by others wanting to argue. Finally, as if to be sure, he found a little peace and quiet. He left Galilee and went all the way north and west to the edge of the Mediterranean. He went beyond the edge of the Jewish world. And that he was really we. We were his disciples. We all went with him. You may say that Jesus was on the run. Not that he was scared, though I think some of us were. But he had a sense of timing that told him it was right to lay low for a while. And Tyre and Sidon put him pretty much off the beaten path as far as the Jews went. I don't think any of us were really that keen to be that far from familiar landscapes. But we were his followers. So that's what we did. We each said to Jesus with our feet, if not with our words, something like Ruth's famous promise to Naomi, "Where I go, where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live." And so, ironically echoing the faithfulness of a Gentile woman, we disciples followed our Lord into Gentile territory. She didn't belong there. I knew it, and the rest of us knew it. We were just sitting down to dinner when she barged in. The dogs woke up immediately, and from their place under the table, they began to bark. One of the children started to cry as the woman frantically looked around the room. I was startled and I stood up immediately. I could feel myself beginning to get angry as I looked at this disheveled, unclean woman. John and James, who'd been sitting near the door, leapt up the same time I did. And they were already reaching out to stop the woman coming closer to the table when she spotted the master. "Lord, Son of David," she cried out as they moved in front of her, "have mercy on me. My daughter is sick. She is suffering terribly from demon possession." The master must have heard her over the noise of the two dogs and the child, but he never said a word. He didn't even look up from his plate. By this time, not only John and James, but I and three others had surrounded the woman, and we began to hustle her out of the door. She was interrupting not only our meal, but the time that Jesus had especially set aside for teaching us about the kingdom that he was going to establish. We had no intention of letting her get in the way of that. The woman struggled a bit, but she didn't have a chance. Hauling nets gives you a lot of strength, and she was outnumbered. We got her outside even more quickly than a bouncer gets a drunk at the tavern. And let me tell you, once outside, she caused as much trouble as a drunk. She was loud and insistent. She tried to get by us and to get back inside. She kept on saying to us that she had to see the miracle worker, that her daughter was in a terrible shape and she needed help. She must have clutched and grabbed each one of us as she pleaded. I tell you, she was in real pain, but I just wanted to get back inside for dinner. James tried to reason with her. "Look," he said, "you have no right to be here. You've got no right to bother the teacher. You're a foreigner. You don't believe anything that we believe. Your people are Gentiles, they are heathens, and your behavior shows that you are too. There is no way the master's going to help you. So get lost." "I've got to see him," she said. "I know he can help me. He has done so much for others." "That may be," James said, "but he's not going to do anything for you. You're only a woman, and you're a Canaanite. You don't go to the synagogue. You don't obey the laws of Moses. You're unclean. You eat forbidden food. And to make matters worse, you've absolutely no respect. Jesus is trying to eat. He's a guest in another man's house. And this is supposed to be a special time for us all. And you just barge in and start demanding help. Listen, go away. You're not going to get help here." You know what she did? That woman just shook her head and said, "I know he'll help me. He's got to help me." John butted in. "Look," he said, "go away. We told you that you're not welcome here. We've told you that Jesus isn't going to have anything to do with your type. So why don't you just get lost?" I tell you, she was like a crazy woman. She didn't know her place, that's for sure. The more we said to her, the louder and more persistent she was. She cried, she begged, she screamed. There was no reasoning with her. And after a few minutes of that, I had an idea of asking Jesus that he should tell her to go away. I figured that if he said something to her, she'd get the picture and stop her infernal racket. I mentioned the idea to the couple of the others, and they agreed that it was the only thing we could do if we were going to have any peace. As soon as I opened the door to go in, the dogs began barking again. Somebody hissed at them to be quiet. As I walked over to Jesus, he was sitting with the child who had cried earlier and eating and talking with our host. The host looked embarrassed. He was trying to pretend that nothing was going on, but the woman was standing just outside the open door where my two mates were waiting for the word and the noise level was none too low. "Excuse me," I said to the master. "Could you please tell that woman to go away? She's really pestering us with all her crying and carrying on." Jesus looked at the host, then at me, and said, "I will send only the lost sheep of Israel." I tell you, Jesus was really frustrating at times. He never seemed to give a straight answer to a simple question. Even so, this time he was backing us up. It was like he had heard everything that we had said to the woman. So I turned to tell the wretched woman that the master had told her to go away. But just as I was turning round, she squeezed by the guys at the door and ran over to stand beside the master and then fell down on her knees at his feet. "Lord, help me," she said. I didn't do a thing. I'd given up at that point. I figured that if Jesus had said something, he'd be able to handle it. And he did. He looked at her, down at his feet. She bowed her head and looked down. Then he looked around the room for a moment. The child beside him was busy eating a piece of bread, as if nothing untoward had happened. The dogs were nuzzling around under the table. Our host was staring at him, no doubt wondering what Jesus was going to do to get rid of this interruption. John and James and the others were all inside by this point. They were still standing, waiting to see what was going to happen and if they'd be needed again. It became very quiet in the room. The master looked around. The only sounds were those of the flies and the child eating. Jesus looked down at the woman and said to her, "It is not right to take the children's bread and to toss it to the dogs." A couple of the disciples smiled. I confess I had a grin too. It was such a well-turned phrase, the kind that only Jesus seemed to be able to come up with. It made the point so well. As far as I was concerned, it certainly disposed of her and all of her kind. I caught James looking at me, and I began to nod my head at him. As I did so, the woman looked up at Jesus and stared him in the eyes. "Yes, Lord," she said, in this incredibly calm and clear voice. "And I swear to you," she had a little smile on her face. "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." I was stunned. The woman was really too much. Lippy, rude, obnoxious, unclean, disrespectful. I could go on. Anyhow, do you know what Jesus did? He smiled at her, as if it was all some kind of great contest of wits. And he said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. For your reply, your request is granted. Go home. Your daughter is healed." I couldn't understand it. I mean, why in the world did Jesus do that? She did not belong there. She was not one of us. She was nothing but a Canaanite. Jesus knew it, I knew it, and the rest of us knew it. I don't understand Jesus sometimes. When Jesus sent us out on our first missionary journey, his instructions were pretty clear. Don't visit Gentile regions and don't enter a Samaritan town. Go instead to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. No offense, but when it comes to the kingdom, Canaanites need not apply. And second, she was a woman. She wasn't supposed to be speaking to Jesus at all. She should have sent her husband or a son or another male relative. There's a proper way to do things, and this wasn't it. And third, she's shouting. She was an outsider, and doubly so as both a Gentile and a woman. Her place was to be unseen and unheard. I'm sorry, but even a gracious God has limits, right? She was not doing herself any favors by making a scene. Now, I'm not saying that we were indifferent to this woman's anguish. We were, after all, proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom. And our message resonated most with the nobodies. Neither the priests nor the Pharisees had much use for our news. To those in power, our news wasn't especially good. In fact, it challenged the very dynamics that secured their power. But even with nobodies, there are only so many you can include. If good news was meant even for Gentiles, well, that would mean everybody was eligible. I wonder whether Jesus' response was a sarcastic reply, chastising us disciples for our lack of compassion, as though he's reminding us that he too was sent away. It wouldn't be the first time he found us short on understanding. I'm not sure what drove her from mere words to her knees. She seemed to know that her place was not in front of Jesus. She knew she wasn't welcomed and wanted here. But she also knew that her daughter's only hope was in the rumors she'd heard about this man and his God. So she risked everything for her sake. So she begged. She had nothing to lose. Jesus seemed to hold within himself more goodness than he himself could humanly fathom. Was it possible that in this moment, an outsider, this woman with no right to speak, no claim to a place with God's family, was she actually pushing Jesus to a deeper understanding of who he was and how big his God was? She was inviting Jesus deeper into his own words. I remember Jesus once said, when somebody strikes you on the right cheek, turn and offer the other. A slap on the right cheek means a backhanded slap. It's a gesture with a single purpose. It's a power play to put a person back in their place, like calling a Gentile woman a dog. It was a way of maintaining power and dismissing another person. When Jesus told us to turn the other cheek, he was telling us to refuse to be dismissed. He was urging us to claim our full humanity in the face of those who wanted to ignore it. See, the other cheek, the left cheek, cannot be hit with a backhanded slap. That requires the use of the left hand. But the left hand cannot be used that way. It's reserved for unclean things, like when you go to the toilet. The left hand cannot be used to assert one's power. So offering the left cheek turns the tables. The left cheek can only be hit by a right-handed fist. And that required the person doing the striking to acknowledge the equality of the other person and to admit that defense or even retaliation would be fair. On that day when he told us that, it offered the throngs of marginal Jews who listened to him with a sincere longing for justice a simple, non-violent way to claim their dignity as God's children. And this woman's yes, but, did the same thing, this time to Jesus. I don't suppose she'd heard the Sermon on the Mount, but she brought it to life in that moment. When she replied, "But even the dogs get to eat the scraps that fall from the table," she was turning the other cheek. She was reminding Jesus that even the dogs are part of the household. Even the dogs deserve the householder's care. In her audacity, she refused to be a dog. She refused to let others define who she was. listen, dogs don't talk back. The moment that she challenged Jesus, she spoke not as a dog, but as a child of the household. She seemed to know already that in God's family, there are no crumbs. Even the scraps are able to become a full meal. She was a non-Jew, not part of the lost sheep of Israel. Gentile, dog. And more importantly, up until now, everything was the way it was supposed to be. This was the world as we knew it, the world as it belonged. And in that moment, in that simple word, woman, she became a person, a woman, a mother. And in that instant, all the divisions and categories that undermined where God's family was and was not, all that evaporated in an instant of unexpected grace. And that space, that recognition of relationship, is where healing happened. Now, we have to recognize that where two or three are gathered might even include a Gentile woman. And God is with us precisely when we stand in the places no one else has dared to stand before. I'm pretty sure now, the main reason that Jesus delayed helping the woman was to help us understand our deep-seated prejudices against women and Gentiles. So now, I see a face. And I know it's hers. Off-limits. Outcast. And now, part of my family. Whose face do you see?